closer.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
As Penn and Teller said to me, we were wrong.
All right, so can we just for a moment talk about what just happened?
Nothing happened.
What really did happen?
We just turned down probably the greatest pizza in the world.
We just left a show that we're going to get to talking about.
We'll get to that. That's its own
story. But Simon, explain what just occurred. We were trying to find some food.
Yeah, so we finished the show. The show went really well. Overall, there were some thrills and some spills, but it went well. We were very happy. And as happens when you finish a show, you're with good friends, you want to debrief. It's been stressful but triumphant. You want to sit down and have some beers and something to eat. So we'd find the nearest place. And as we go there at some Mexican restaurant, everywhere's shutting at 11 and it's 11.
Right.
So our options were limited. It was Olive Garden or this. And apparently the Olive Garden's not good, as I've learned. And we're getting close and we see police car lights. And we go, oh, someone's pulled over a drunk driver. Ha ha, that's funny. We make quips. Okay, great. We park. We walk over and we realize that was not the only police car. There were like seven more police cars.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like probably every police car in the whole of Vacaville, California.
Yeah, and every police officer in Vacaville in riot gear.
Yeah, and we think because there's some festival thing happening.
Yeah,
and
but my the festival's brain, over.
Well, my brain went, it's probably some post-festival wackiness.
Right.
You know, some high spirits. You know, a few pranks getting out of hand. Okay, cool. So we go to the not Mexican restaurant. We were wrong. It's just a pizza place. But they had pizza. And we asked them in passing, oh, by the way, do you know what's going on out there? And the woman goes, oh, yeah, apparently someone has a gun. And we go, so Olive Garden? And just hightail it F out of there.
She wasn't offended we weren't going to have their pizza.
Oh, she didn't care. She knows their pizza's terrible. She could see it in her eyes.
Yeah, I would eat here.
I was just so confused because we got directions to a Mexican restaurant and then we walked up and she's like, I said, are you still serving food? And she said, we're only pizza.
Mexican pizza?
Yeah.
But she said there is a Mexican place, but it's closed.
Right.
But Google said it was open and Google didn't tell us about a pizza place.
Right.
It's been a very confusing night.
Yeah.
And a mildly threatening one, literally. With like all the police full of riot gear, whole street full of cop cars and flashing lights and riot gear in the quiet, tiny, idyllic town of Vacaville where nothing is going on except for like all the cops and all the riot gear.
We had just passed moments before and there was one cop.
Yeah.
And then all the cops showed up.
So we decided to not be in the same rear area as a potential gun person.
Right.
And we're now going to find some... I think we're going to BJ's Brewhouse. Apparently that's open near the hotel, according to the helpful hotel front desk person.
So, Nick, do you want to do your intro?
Oh, I forgot this is technically
this
was your podcast.
No, this is your podcast.
Whose podcast is this?
Wait, this is our podcast? I thought this was Taylor's podcast.
No, I thought... Well, I don't know. We could have joint custody.
I think it's
you could
be
have it every other
weekend. Hour.
Has that ever happened? Has anyone released the same audio file on two different unrelated podcasts?
We've done that.
We did that on our first episode.
Episode.
It wasn't like unrelated. Hey, everybody! Welcome to Two Magicians. One mic about to break.
Special three magician edition.
This is three magicians and three mics. Has this ever happened on your show?
It has.
Well, Rocco, okay.
Rocco Solano, who thought it would be a great idea to do magic tricks on an audio podcast.
and then read the Bible.
And then read the Bible.
What? He read the Bible on the podcast?
Well, no, he got me to read the Bible.
Wait. For a trick?
During the podcast?
No, because Jesus.
Wait, is Rocco a Jesus guy?
He's a very much
he
a Jesus
is.
Guy.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
He's a sweet man.
He's a lovely guy.
No, that's fine.
And also a Jesus guy. And the two are not, two don't have to be incompatible.
It just always comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, because he's the last person you would expect to be into Jesus. Like,
right.
Every other aspect of him is very incongruous with that.
Right.
But that's a whole different...
I mean, Simon and I have never talked about this. I very much lean toward Jesus.
And you're a lovely guy.
But
there you go.
So I was kind of bummed when I found out that he liked Jesus.
It's a classic cognitive dissonance triangle. You like Jesus. Rocco likes Jesus. You don't like Rocco. How do we resolve this tension?
Well, I don't not like Rocco. I've never met him. He's a I saw him perform in the castle, and he made... like $100 bills appear
In an ice cream.
Yes, like, in an ice cream cone.
Come out and hit nowhere.
Yeah.
I almost said where it came from.
By the way, for anyone who's confused by the audio there, that was $100 bills and an ice cream cone, not in in an ice cream cone, which is how that sounded to
me. Now, that would be a trick.
What if they just be soggy and, like, covered in milk fat? I don't think that'd be good. Like, Bill and Lemon's bad enough, having to wipe off the lemon juice for the poor audience member, let alone covered in whatever is in ice cream.
I'm just now trying to picture Rocco as a gospel magician.
I don't know if it ever... He doesn't do much verbal.
I don't think he does gospel magic. He does magic and then gospel separately.
Hmm. Wow.
You got to listen to the Macau sessions, Taylor. You're missing out on the good stuff.
Well, I've heard so many times you reference the episode with Rocco.
Oh.
But I haven't heard the episode with Rocco.
You clearly need to. I mean, we've spoiled the ending now.
It has the most downloads, I think, of any of our episodes.
Yeah. Really?
Which isn't saying much for us.
It's definitely one of the most unique. It's a genuine cultural artifact.
Simon starts describing the trick he's doing, and you can hear it because he's using some water and, like, uses a napkin and dabs it in the water, and you hear it drip all over the microphone.
And I didn't even have earphones at the time because Taylor hadn't shown me the light yet.
Yeah. I love that this is your, like, 5 millionth episode and you've never used headphones.
I think I used them one time.
When
it was at your place. Well, literally one time.
Well, our episodes the past couple months have been just, like, remote, which I don't like doing.
No,
but we haven't had a choice.
I love how you can hear the ambient noise of the car.
Right.
I actually really like that. That's good.
Let's take this out in post.
This is the weirdest vibe.
This is the first ever episode that we've ever recorded in the field. Actually, out there in the world.
Out in the wild.
I'd just like to thank you both for coming to the middle of nowhere to do a show.
I'd like to thank you for having us.
And for very little money, but we made the people happy.
It was a fun show. Should we talk about the show?
Sure.
Yeah, that's good.
This still feels like Taylor's podcast.
I'm trying not to talk too much.
No, I want you to take over because I've been on a boat for 3 weeks.
Nick's in a weird spin, and I'm driving the car.
So I have to... You want me to, like, book the gig, drive the car, and host the podcast? How dare you?
I also love it.
Here's the best part is we talked about doing this podcast, and Nick's so tired. He's like, let's do it on the way to the hotel.
Because the second we hit that hotel, Nick is out. Nick is dead to the world.
If you want to get a good, like a thermometer for where Nick's at right now, imagine your dad when he came to pick you up an hour ago and you're still inside the house at the party.
You know how long I've been here?
5 more minutes, Dad.
You better not be drinking.
They'd better be drinking at this rate tonight.
That's all Simon is concerned about is a post-show drink.
I need food, and I really would like a good mid-range craft brewery hard cider. And I know it's not going to happen. I know that's just not possible. It's not conceivable at like 11:30 p.m.
in Vacaville,
North California. And I'm trying to make peace with that, and it's okay.
It sounds like a pretend city that would be, or a little town that would be in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
With a cornfield nearby.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's the city that if you were watching the news and they were like, 20 people were murdered in Vacaville, you'd be like, that sounds where it would happen.
Well, I mean,
that's what's going on.
That's all. As we were walking up, that's all I could think of. It was like, oh, this is where this happens. This stuff happens in the places where, like, it was such a quiet little town. It's like, because they don't say that in L.A. because it happens on an hourly basis.
Right.
But when it doesn't happen, of course, it's more noticeable.
So we went to Vacaville. We all met at an airport today.
We did.
Nick came straight from 3 weeks on the road.
I came from Alaska with you nice people.
We all managed to be at the same one of Sacramento's two airports and not mess that up, which was good.
Yeah, I would say of all the things that could go wrong, that was probably the major one. And I would like to just talk about... I will host right now.
Please.
I would just like to talk about how... We came up with an ending to the show today about 5 minutes Well, we finished building the ending of the show.
Hey, wait, let's rewind a bit for context. So the three of us are in Vacaville to do a performance of the Magic Showdown, the show that Nick and I and John Armstrong and briefly John Lovick worked on back at Hollywood Fringe. It became this new thing. We're trying to make it a thing. It's very exciting. It's got a lot of potential. This is the first time we've done it kind of on the road out there to keep evolving the format, build it, get some good video footage and promo stuff. So we agreed to do this show on an extremely low budget because we see it as a developmental opportunity for the show. Taylor, being a damn champion, agreed to come up and do the show with us. That's what we did tonight at the DeVille Theater in Vacaville. We did the first touring show of the Comedy Magic Showdown.
Yeah.
Back to you, Nick.
Also, contextually, I
blanked out during all that. What?
Also, for all the magicians listening to this, because only magicians would understand what is happening with your microphone right now. Nick is driving the car, and we have a handheld microphone, so he's got it tied around his neck with one of those gymcrack.
All three of us have handheld microophones.
Yeah, but
because Taylor cares about audio quality,
and he cares about my safety too.
Respect,
so
yeah.
I'm driving hands free.
But I think magicians will appreciate that you're using one of those things
around the neck microphone holder. That is a very magician, one of the most magician-y things on earth.
And as an audiophile, I have to explain that because your audio is slightly less high quality than Simon's, because you're speaking through.
Not all of us like to put in 100% effort. Thank you so much.
Well, you're putting 100% effort into road safety, which is the correct ratio of effort from safety to podcast quality.
Taylor's making fun of the audio quality on our podcast.
No, I'm not making fun of the audio quality in your podcast.
It's crap.
No,
people keep listening.
your podcast, I think, is more successful than mine, and I don't think that's true.
Let's
today.
How did you record today?
We used a speak and spell that we got at a surplus store.
Taylor, let's define success.
I just want to point out that this is a group show. Yes, and we're marketing it, and I marketed it for the best magicians in the country. And what's the one thing I forget to market and put in the promo package to the theater? Simon Cornell fooling Penn and Teller, a year later. Like, one of the only magicians to do that, and I don't mention or send that video clip or anything.
Well, it's okay, because even if you did, they would show a video of someone else doing magic. This.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was amazing.
Today, we get a post on Instagram, and we're like, ooh, they're promoting the show, and we look at it. And it's like a clip art magician.
Well, no, it looks like a stock. We assume it's a stock photo. It's some dude with a fan of cards and a fedora that we don't recognize, have never seen. I assume just their marketing intern searched stock photo magician.
He's like a guy with a goatee that you just like, that doesn't look good on you.
Yeah, he looks.
But
he looks
nobody
like
will
he,
tell him.
He looks like he would think of himself as a ladies' man.
Yeah,
he was definitely like a co-writer of The Pickup Artist.
Yeah.
So basically, he looked like a magician.
Yeah. It was an accurate photo.
The struggle is real.
So we did it. It was great. It was fun.
And the concept of the show is it's a live contest. As the great blurb now writes, it combines the amazing magic of Fool Us with the improv comedy of Whose Line Is It Anyway and the excitement of live voting you get on American Idol.
We're going to get sued by all three of them.
Great. It's fair use. It's fine.
We're just saying these are the things. We're not saying this is what the show is. I guess we're kind of doing
that. It's like when you go to buy cologne and they're like, if you liked Obsession, you'll love Fabergé.
Yeah. Anyway, Fabergé. So it's a genuine real-life magic contest where the audience gets to vote through a voting app, and there's lots of rounds. There's genuine improvisational rounds where we really have interesting improv challenges. It's great.
Today, Taylor, I think, pulled off the best one. We got random objects, and you were given a little really expensive coach, red ruby slipper, a tiny little
keychain. It's like a little charm.
That would be like a bracelet. And you successfully made it appear on a man's necklace.
Yeah.
Like in front of, in full view.
You know what's funny? The whole time, I told Nick this, Simon, the whole time that was going on, I'm like, everyone knows what I'm doing right now. This is so obvious. Like, you know when you're doing some ballsy move and everything goes in a slow-mo?
Yeah.
And I was shocked when it got a good reaction.
Yep. Hey, that's magic. That's one of the great things about improv magic. Genuine improv magic, not bullshit fake magic.
Yeah.
Improv magic, like fucking Wizard Wars.
Simon's just getting sued left and right.
Getting sued.
From all these shows that don't exist.
Hey, take it Jabrizi.
Calm down. Not all of us can lie to the judges and fool us.
It is. Hey, listen, I was too honest.
You guys were like in complete opposite ends of that. Like he just got flat out made up how it worked and got away with fooling them, and you were just like, oh, I think they're wrong, but I'm gonna still walk away.
Oh yeah. Well, look, that's a whole different thing.
No, now I'm pissing off to Breezy.
It's okay. That's a noble.
Are we doing apologies at the end of this? I still feel bad that I said, I felt bad that Rocco liked Jesus. I'll feel bad about that for 2 months.
Well, you edit the podcast.
That's my years of church guilt.
Yeah. Well, wait. I don't think it is. It's just jarring because it's very surprising.
Yeah.
You look at him.
Well,
he's
if
like
anybody tries to do magic
dude.
And talk about Jesus, I cringe. But then I just was like, Rocco? He's the delight guy.
And delightful.
Again, for non-magicians listening, all two of you in the world, actually, don't worry. A delight's a product
like
of Rocco's
soul. I like
how
Simon feels the need to
Rocco's
explain
a magician,
it.
Yeah. Okay, here's a real genuine question. If you are a non-magician who listens to this, tweet us and let us know. I'm fascinated. I'm genuinely interested in what the demographic breakdown is. Do I actually need to think about explaining magic references for non-magicians, or do I just lean into, it's a magic industry in joke podcast?
I think it's like what Penn does in like answering or giving feedback of saying the correct names, and if people want to find out what it is, they can just go Google it, because he's doing that purposefully.
Yeah,
if people want to learn magic, that they have to take the initiative and go find out what that stuff means.
Yeah. Yeah, but like if you Google Rocco Magician Jesus, you're not going to find a sort of a contextual information that will make any of the things we're saying make any sense. And also the fact that delight sounds like the word D-E-L-I-G-H-T, not D-apostrophe-L-I-T-E, which is the thing that Rocco sells. Yeah, no, I try and be user and audience aware. I try and make it easy for people who don't necessarily have the shared knowledge that we all do. I think it's important as a human being to think about all the audiences. Maybe I'm naive.
Getting back to what I brought up.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to you, Nick.
No, just saying that we came up with the ending to the show at house opened at 7:30. We started constructing it at about 7:30.
Well, Simon came up with I mentioned the idea of using a big check as the giveaway.
Because Nick had the idea of ending with a prediction.
Yeah, like a confabulation.
Idea of having a big novelty check. And then I combined those ideas into going, we should have a big novelty check that built into that is a prediction. So it was a team effort.
What's great is Simon was so confident in our ability to pull off a routine. Not just pull it off, but close the show. Like, this is the cherry on top. This is the put a bow on it.
Yeah.
It shows how, like, unconfident Taylor and I are as human beings. And Simon's like, yeah, we'll just do this.
Well, today has been, like, it's been a wonderful treat, but it's also been so puzzling to me because I listen to the podcast, your podcast, every week.
Thank you.
I do not listen to my podcast, but I listen to yours. And Simon, prepping for a show, is the exact opposite of what everyone listening to this show thinks he would be like.
Yeah, like all of our stuff is organized and like preset. We set our stuff on stage at like 5:30. It's 7:55 and Simon's like, where's that plastic bag?
Well, no.
Which is a prop required in one of the tricks to work.
Well, we were about to walk on stage and I went, Simon, you don't have your mic on.
I was like, oh yeah, cheers, bro.
Oh yeah.
Good note.
Pro,
I like
pro
it.
Pro tip.
Before going on stage, check that your mic is actually, and not even switched on, like actually attached to my body. Like it was not, it was in my case.
Well, I
was very preoccupied with other things.
Yeah, but you're so, you seem to be unfazed by any of it. Like, I wish I was that confident. I'm so neurotic with the stuff.
Well, here is the thing, I think. And first of all, don't take advice from me, because now you've seen the horror that is my pre-show prep. But if you think the objective of the show is to have the audience leave the venue going, that was freaking great, I loved that. That was worth my time and my money, and I will recommend my friends to see it if they can.
Right.
Basically. That's how you really measure success. you can totally climb to the, you can achieve that without having a mic on 5 minutes before the start of the show. Or indeed, if one of your routines fails catastrophically because of you were spending your preparation time trying to invent the method for the magical check, giant novelty check ending.
Oh, it was fantastic that, method, by
that
the way.
We'd invented earlier that day, along with the closing to the book test that I was doing.
Yeah.
A lot of things got invented in Walmart at 6:30 p.m. today.
I think that's a good space to be in, of not being too connected or, you know, glued to your material.
Yeah, like, the thing is, I'm 100% invested in the show being a great experience to the audience. 100 damn percent. But you, that is not the same as needing every little bit to be polished and exact and just so.
Right.
Well, that's
what
I love about
two very different things.
Group shows is like you can, you're passing the juggling ball of, okay, if something doesn't work or if something doesn't like destroy, it's like, okay, we have other things that can fill in those gaps. And that's what's so fun about
completely
doing these shows, that you definitely aren't making as much money as we would on our own, but I think there is a sanity tax, if we, as we've talked about before, of you need to do shows like this that aren't for the money but are just clearly for fun. And in my case, missing my 5-year wedding anniversary by a day. My wife is a saint.
She really is.
But this show, I mean, everything about this show is so stinking fun. Like, I was so excited to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. And then the whole time we're doing it, you don't know what to expect.
I wrote the show and I didn't know what to expect.
It's like a choose your own ending book and the audience gets to pick.
Yeah. Yeah, that real tension when the votes are in and we're about to see the results and we don't know what they're going to be and we don't know is someone going to get zero, like what, anything can happen. It's you can't fake that.
Taylor cleaned up, he won, and then the second to last round got like all the votes, and it was one of those great things where you see like the way you have the voting system built in is like you don't see the final number till the very last second. You just see these bar graphs. Mm. And then we're like, all right, we're doing great. And then we're like, oh, no. And Taylor gets all the votes.
That was weird. That shouldn't have happened because the first two rounds, I was the lowest.
Yeah.
But that's what's so great about this show.
That's, again, one of the many great layers of this show. It's
usually
really
the person who wins the first round does not end up winning. It goes completely. The couple times we've done this show, it's all over the place. But there is a pattern.
And we very deliberately designed it to be that way. And that's why we have things like the improv rounds, why we have the ultra-short lightning round. Because the rounds are designed to play very differently to the performers and the audience's strengths, weaknesses, and preferences. And that's deliberate to keep it interesting and not just have, oh, yeah, this is obviously the most polished performer, they'll keep winning. We don't want that. Right. That's not interesting. We want to really test people and stretch people. One of the inspirations for me was Top Chef Masters. Not Top Chef, but Top Chef Masters, where they get existing experienced chefs with their own successful restaurants and careers and give them really quirky, weird challenges to see what they can do totally out of their comfort zone. And that's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Watching someone who has their shit together deal with really interesting challenges to see what they come up with. I love that format because then you suddenly don't know what to expect anymore. If they cook their signature dishes, it'll be great. It'll be great. That's good. But take it off script and go in somewhere something unusual. Then you have something interesting.
Oh, totally. Well, and like it's funny to even conceptual. I mean, we talked through it, so I felt like I knew what to expect. And then even when we did that improv round and I was like, oh, like I had an idea of like, oh, maybe I'll steal a watch. And I'll clip this charm onto the guy's watch when I give it back to him. And then I couldn't find a watch in the room. And I was like, ah. So what am I... And then, like, at the last second, I saw the guy had a necklace. And then I'm just like, really? Like, the whole... We've explained to everybody that this thing's going to be introduced. You have to figure out a way to pull it off on the fly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's... Again, I got to give huge credit to one of the other big inspirations for this is Australia's Tim Ellis's Magic Sports idea, which is based on theatre sports if you're from the UK or Australia, or comedy sports if you're from the US, which was based on theatre sports. Not a lot of people know that. But structured improv games. And while I don't... I agree... I have some different views with Tim on his own creation, but the idea of, you really can do genuinely improvisational magic challenges, and you can get surprisingly much better results than you would expect with a broad skill set in magic if you're forced into that moment. And it's a really, really great concept that has a lot of leverage in it and a lot of potential. And I think we all saw that tonight play out.
All right, thanks for listening. I was literally just zoning out driving. I'm like, la, la, la. I'm driving a car. Oh, wait, we're recording a podcast.
So we are currently, for context, driving from Vacaville back to near Sacramento Airport.
Oh, this was a fun add to the journey today. We get to our hotel, and they're like, we're overbooked. And my response was, okay. Like, I literally said that to this man.
It's like that scene in Seinfeld where he's trying to get the car reservation.
They're Sir, like, I know what a reservation is.
I don't think you do. If you did, you'd have the car.
That's exactly... Like, I had
you
that...
You could take
I
the was, reservation. You don't know how to keep the reservation.
I was queuing that up in my head. And then the nice man's like, okay, 10 miles or 10 minutes away is a DoubleTree Hotel. Actually, he said, I can't tell you what hotel there is, but there are two trees involved. Hold for applause. And then... He's like, we prepaid for a room, and you're not going to have to pay for anything. So I'm like, okay, can you give me a letter or something that says that so they know this?
Yeah.
And it ended up being fine. So we're now going back to a nicer hotel for free. Yeah, so I'm not complaining.
Cookies.
And we got cookies, because they give you cookies when you check in at the DoubleTree.
Yeah, that was a new experience for me. Those were delicious.
It's like they couldn't decide what kind of cookie to make, so they made them all in one cookie.
Yeah, in a way that worked well. Yeah. Good texture, kind of little crunchy but mostly chewy, and really good balance of everything.
This is where the podcast is going. From guns to the delicious taste of
DoubleTree.
DoubleTree Hotel brand cookies, which apparently is a thing. A lot like the Olive Garden being terrible. I'm learning so much. This has been a really great cultural journey. But yeah, so we are currently on the highway driving from Vacaville. What, it's about an hour drive? 45-minute drive?
45-minute drive.
I'm just thinking this over right now. I don't remember going over a bridge when we came.
But the reason we're driving is because there's no airports in Vacaville. We had to fly to Sacramento, rent a car, and drive to Vacaville. And it made sense. Nick made the very smart call to optimize for tomorrow's early morning departure. We want to be near the airport, just right. Get out. And also hotels were less than half the price, I think, in Sacramento near the airport to actually in Vacaville, because Memorial Day weekend.
We were the idiots I was the idiot that said yes to a gig on Memorial Day weekend, because that all, like, usually, typically you do a theater and they'll pay for your flight and the hotel, but this was kind of a lower budget thing and we just made it work. And then I realized, oh, of all the weekends to not be getting a hotel for free.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Taylor's been just kind of a champion. Nick and I have both made some great and some questionable... we've both made some great and questionable moves in this show. You know, e.g., yeah, cool. I had some great ideas. Might have done them more than 12 minutes before the start of the show. Yeah, Nick, booked a show, did it great. Oh, Memorial Day weekend. It's been ups and downs.
Oh, it's been great. Well, what's fun is, like, this is all this stuff. Like, as funny as it is to talk about, like, trying to go to a restaurant and there being, like, a police shutdown going on. This is the stuff that happens on the road, and if you're by yourself, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
But if you're with friends, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know? It's like...
It's such a difference doing it as a group. It's... Because rather than... Yeah, if any of us were doing this solo, it'd be just an annoying, lonely, irritating pain in the ass. And the show would be good, and then you'd be happy for a bit, and then you go back to your hotel and be sad. Whereas this has been a goddamn delight from start to finish.
Right.
Because you guys are here, and so tragedy is subverted to comedy moment by moment, and it's just wonderful, and I love it, and that's why, you know, I think, you know, Nick, I know as well, but I'm so invested in trying to make this show work, because this would be the dream, being able to do things like this for higher budgets, bigger audiences, more success.
Well, it's just a brilliant concept. It's so friggin' fun.
Yeah.
And the audience afterward, like, they got it. They all came up. We had posters. Yeah. That was exciting.
We, like, sold way more posters than I thought we would.
We signed posters.
I'm glad I made those, because I was sitting on the boat and I was like, I don't know if anybody's going to buy these. But there's something about just a tangibility. Like, people, someone was explaining this to me, like, they don't really care about the poster. They just want to take something home of the experience.
Right.
And I think giving him something like that is just You know, and it's a great picture.
And I think they want to come up and say hi, but, like, they need a reason to, you know? So it's like, I'm coming up to get this poster, and then I can say hi. It makes it a little less...
And what's so cool is you can kind of, like, custom make, like, what a lot of guys will do, they'll custom make posters for, like, that particular show, and that makes it even more special, which is neat.
Yeah, it's a limited edition.
Yeah.
Or they just do it like us and make them for the whole 2019 world tour.
Well, that was my thinking. I'm like, well, if nobody buys these, we can just keep trying to give them away later.
Yeah, the posters say Magic Showdown 2019 world tour on them, which I love. I made a crack about that on the show.
Anything else? Any thoughts?
Nick's so ready to wrap it up. I love that we're heading to a restaurant and all Nick wants to do is go to sleep.
I'm honestly not tired. I'm totally fine. Like when I would do that tour with Willman, we wouldn't get done until 1 a.m. Then have to find somewhere to eat and literally be up at sometimes 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
So like getting up. God. Well, tomorrow we got to be up at maybe 8. And I forget what time your flight is, Taylor, but mine's
it's
at 11.
Like 10 something.
So it's complete. If I can get more than 4 hours of sleep on a tour, you know, type show.
Oh, look, there's the hotel easy. We were going to live at.
Oh, there it is.
All right, bye, hotel.
We should show up again and go, all right, yeah, we made a reservation.
Oh, yeah, they probably they've changed people by now, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. We would now maybe we'll get a second room for free and 3 more cookies.
You can keep the room. We just want the cookies.
the goodbye hotel reminds me of this video a friend showed me once. It was one of the most weirdly, I don't even know what the word is, but memorable things I've seen. It was a video made by a U.S. soldier in, I think, Afghanistan or somewhere like that. I don't know my Middle Eastern, you know, theaters of war very well. But he was a sniper, and he was assigned to monitor this hotel. There was this hotel where a bunch of insurgents who had been holding up for weeks, and they just kind of got this perimeter around this hotel so they couldn't get away. And today they were going to blow up the hotel. And they, you know, they had the approval and it was all happening. And he made this video where he did almost this kind of prose poem of like, screw you, hotel. I've been watching you for weeks. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of this. Damn it, hotel. You've been like a pathological brother to me, and I'm glad at last I can be free of you. Damn it, hotel. And then the hotel blows up. It was just the weirdest, most subversive, dark, horrible, beautiful, almost poetic, his ode to hotel. Listen, hotel.
See, let's timestamp this, because this is a perfect quote for the game I'm trying to get you to play on Two Magicians, One Mic. Because here's how the game would go. I've been pitching this to Nick. He hasn't done it.
I've mentioned it on the show. I just haven't had time to, like, go through and listen.
Friends, how fun would it be
podcast?
If, like, 3 months from now, when we've forgotten about this conversation, Nick goes, all right, time to play Simon Said. Did Simon say, screw you, hotel? You've ruined my life. And Simon, you would be like, I never said that. That's the best part.
And then we have it queued up and play it back. And then giving some other random quote that would almost sound like Simon.
The kind of thing that, yeah, wow. God, that's funny. Because, yeah, Taylor, you were pointing this out to me earlier today that about things I've said that I've completely forgotten that I've talked about. Because,
right.
I mean, for better and worse, I don't like thinking about image crafting and public persona or all that bullshit. I just want to, let's have a real conversation about real things we actually care about.
Right.
And that ends up being a lot of weird stuff sometimes.
Right.
And in the moment, whatever you're thinking about just comes out and then is often forgotten later.
Yeah, I think it needs to be documented for posterity.
I mean, hey, that's why we have podcasts.
That's the best part about this show. I love your podcast, because one minute you're talking about, you know, the newest magic thing that's happening, and the next moment you're talking about, okay, but if aliens showed up in Tucson and you were only there for 3 hours, would you take them for barbecue? Like it's some or deep, deep philosophical thing.
That's the beauty of podcasting. Nobody can tell you no or to stop doing it, because you're the one that's doing it.
Right. Even if they should.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't.
This should have ended a long time ago.
Or just the podcasts generally. We hit Do you think we've hit peak podcast yet, just in the world?
Us no, or not at in all. General? Like yeah. podcasts as a whole?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Just I don't think so.
Field of podcasting.
I do. You think so?
I think there's too many.
I include ours
in that.
Yeah, there's like 800,000.
I mean, there's two different questions there, right? One is have we? The other question is should we have already? These are very different questions.
Yeah. I think there's so many people that still haven't jumped onto the podcast bandwagon of like consuming content audibly is not anywhere near where I think it's going to be a year from now.
I think it's been building more and more as more people understand how to download things and how to get that. I think the biggest thing is it just so much work to listen to an episode, because I mean that is the advantage of regular radio. You just turn your car on and I don't have to think. So just the idea of pre-planning, I think, is kind of new for a lot of people.
And to have especially depending on how long they are. You guys are really good about having your episodes not crazy long. I can feel Nick itching right now that this has gone too long.
No, I'm literally looking at the directions of how, we've made 3 or 4 crazy turns
that we did not make to get here. And supposedly we're going to be 2 minutes away from our hotel.
Yeah.
We're now in the state capital.
I just realized turns are a lot like 0-point energy in a quantum field. Because
timestamp it.
If you go along a road, if we say we came from the hotel to get to Vacaville and took no turns, but on the way back, if you take one turn, you now take more turns to offset that one turn. So you can either have zero or get lots from that, and the turns cancel each other out.
This is exactly what I was talking about.
Now my sleepiness is kicking in. And I can't even.
I'm fully aware that I didn't need to share that. I could have just kept that to myself. But clearly, that's an interesting thing. That's the kind of place where my brain just goes.
Right.
So you can end up with two very different routes that map the same thing. From zero, you end up with multiple things that cancel out. Back to zero.
You lost me at Vicarville.
Vicarville.
Vacaville.
Where the Vickers hang out.
I still can't pronounce it, and it was on a kid's shirt. And I'm like, you, sir, what's that on your shirt? Vicker, I shouldn't say that.
That wasn't just any kid's shirt. That was the king of Little League.
The king of Little League.
Well, he was like the VP. He's the vice president.
VP.
What's it called? MVP. There you go. I don't know sports.
Most valuable participant player, whatever.
He was the most valuable Little League player in all of Vacaville.
A lot like... Wait, hang on. No, that doesn't. I've got a bit, but I don't think it's working. It's like, Taylor, you're the MVP of Little League of Magic Showdown. It didn't work. That's not my best work.
I was going to say that kid is to Major League Baseball what our podcasts are to the rest of podcasts.
That's probably better. I can't remember. It was Anthony. I can't remember his surname. This guy made the joke that if you take out all the podcasts that are basically two white men talking about Star Wars, that's all of them.
Oh, that's funny.
If you round up the nearest whole number, that's 100% of podcasts.
That's kind of sad.
I just can't stop thinking about it. This seems like a much longer drive.
I wish this was video, because you can see. You look at Nick, you can see what he's thinking.
We've made a lot of extra turns.
If you ever notice that your light time seems to be speeding up as you get older, sit in a car with Taylor Hughes and Simon Coronel doing a podcast, this is, you'll live forever.
Just slowing down time for sure.
This is Nick Paul's own Groundhog Day.
I'm going to learn how to play piano by the end of this.
Well, friends, today's episode of Two Magicians, One Mic is brought to you by the About to Break podcast. Go ahead and listen to a most recent episode with Mr. Lance Burton.
Oh, that was a great episode. Definitely go listen to it. It was really well done.
See how I did my shameless plug? Planned? It was intentional?
This is why your podcast is better, because you care about those things.
I still haven't fully processed that this is actually our podcast right now and not Taylor's. It still feels to me emotionally like Taylor's.
No, I didn't find out till halfway through the recording. So yeah.
Well, here's how it happened. Is you said on the last show you guys needed to record tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
See, because I listened to your podcast. So then I told Nick, hey, I heard that I've got my podcast gear with me.
Guys, I'm making a wrong turn right now.
I'm glad that one of the three of us listens to Two Magicians, One Mic.
We were 0.4 miles away, and Nick made the wrong turn.
Wait, is it the right time? No, there it is.
You're good. There it is.
What? Google Maps.
Why are we at our hotel?
Because that's where you said to go.
I thought we were going to the restaurant.
Oh, see, this is why we shouldn't record podcasts.
Oh, we're over there. BJ's Brewhouse. Yeah, it's across the street.
Cool. She said also Elephant Bar. Like, there's a bunch of places nearby.
The Elephant Bar is right here. Let's try that.
Yeah, she said there's a lot of places across and everything open till midnight.
All right. Well, Simon, you want to close this out?
Sure. God.
Land the plane.
Well, we're going to get food and drinks.
No one's ever going to
because
hear this
it's been a long
no
night.
No one's ever going to hear
it's
this.
It's 11:42.
It's been a weird night.
And this kitchen is going to hate us.
Look, on the plus side, this is a lot better than that shitty over episode that we did.
That was my favorite episode.
On that note, it's kind of successful.
Thanks for listening,
and
friends.
About to break with Taylor Hughes.
Whoa.
A lot like our car after all those turns that Nick did that you probably didn't need to do.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you really like the show, you can donate a few bucks a month on our website, twomagiciansonemic.com, or become a monthly subscriber through our Patreon link. Thanks to all the people that support the show and keep it up and running. Be sure to follow us on the interwebs at twomagiciansonemic. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.